Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I remember Brother Nevis gave me some documents, religious, biblical documents to read. When he handed them to me, he looked into my eyes. Strong, he was saying something powerful just by looking in my eyes. I remember that. That means I should read them and preserve them, take care of them. All right, the last time I was here, I spoke of our identity in Christ, part one. And I said that by identity, we mean who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. And thank God for this, another privilege where I can come to continue the topic, our identity in Christ, but this time, part two. In part one, we looked at, we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The second one, we looked at that we're forgiven and our sins taken away. The third point was that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Next point, we are new persons and we are made complete in Christ. So we looked at 5 points. So we'll continue with the 6th. By the grace of God. And I thank you, Brother Agar, for the prayer that was extended for the speaker. So without any ado, I'll just go straight ahead. Shall we turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10? So identity number 6, we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, meaning masterpiece, our work in progress, our work of heart. That's what that word means. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works mean acts of service, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Thanks be to God. So we have learned from this that we were created anew so we can do the things God planned for us a long time ago. So God's intention is that our salvation will result in acts of service. So we are not saved merely for our own benefit, but to serve Christ and to build up the church. The church can be built up in numbers and in terms of our faith. So we are looking at growth and development of the church. Our salvation is God's powerful creative work in us, and God will continue to work in us until he's finished perfecting us. That's in the day of our Lord. I would say on the day of glorification, the time of glorification, which we have looked at in the Bible study. So that can be found in Philippians 1 verse 6, that he will continue to work in us and finish perfecting us. And that's why we can sing the song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have thine own way." Do you know that song? Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Are we waiting patiently as we are going through the molding process? Are we fully surrendered and prostrate before the Lord? That's yielded and still. Are we thirsting after righteousness? If we are not, then we are holding back the progress of the potter to mold us. Identity number 7. We will have eternal glory. We will have eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. Second Timothy 2, verse 10. The Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So the Apostle Paul said that he will endure all things. So the Apostle Paul wasn't singing this song, I want to go to heaven and rest. Do you know that song? Say, I want to go to heaven and rest. I'm tired of staying down here. I'm tired of the troubles and trials. I want to go to heaven and rest. The Apostle Paul wasn't singing that song. He said that he would endure all things for the sake of the elect. The Apostle Paul was knowledgeable of the fact that our salvation brings eternal glory. He was aware of that. A glory that far outweighs the trouble and trials that we are going through in this world. The trouble and trials that we are going through is nothing to be compared with this eternal glory that we are talking about. So the word glory is a multifaceted word. It has different meanings. And one of the meanings is that it describes God's obvious presence. And that can be found in Exodus 32, verse 22, and other verses. It also indicates the worth and value which results in praise. So when someone says, give God the glory, we praise him. We give him praise, for praise due unto him. It's also a synonym for heaven. For example, when we get to glory, when we get to heaven. But Christians can reflect the glory that Christ Jesus also reflect in heaven with the Father. So the glory mentioned here is one which is hoped for. Colossians 1 verse 27. Colossians 1 verse 27. To them, that is the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the glory that's mentioned here is the one which is hoped for. So eternal glory, a state of existence in the very presence of God, where there is sinlessness in the eternal state of the saints. Sinlessness, no sin whatsoever. So the believer is transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. So we will have a glorified body like our Lord Jesus Christ, which is not at any risk for sinning. No risk whatsoever of falling away into sin. 1 John 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3 and verse 2 tells us that we shall be like him. We shall be like him. And Romans 8 verse 29 tells us that God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The image of Jesus Christ. So here we are looking at our eternal glory, which is the sovereign act of God, which will bring a state of existence where every saint will reflect and manifest perfectly the nature and attribute of God eternally. So it's not that glory, it's to be revealed in us. How beautiful that is. This is a goodbye to sin forever. We are here struggling with sin because of that sinful flesh, the sinful nature, that Adamic nature. And there's a struggle within us, a war going on. On that day of eternal glory, it would be a goodbye to sin. There will be perfection in peace and harmony, where God's majesty and holiness will be realized in us. Praise be to God. Romans 5 and verse 2. Romans 5 and verse 2, and it is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God. Hope of glory. This verse can also be paraphrased as, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So Christ gives us power to live for him and hope for the future. A hope of sharing all his glory eternally. Eternally. So this hope is what we call unfailing hope, because Romans 5 and verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. We have this hope because we are justified. That's the next identity in Christ. We are justified in Christ. By justified, I mean that we have been made right or declared righteous. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he, that is God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ the Son, who knew no sin, meaning he had never sinned, to be sin for us, meaning that he was made an offering for our sins, that we could become the righteousness of God in him, so that we could be made right with God. Thanks be to God. Although we had so many, many sins, Jesus washed them all away and he pardoned me. Our life is all about Jesus Christ. All about Jesus Christ. So when we trust in Christ, we made an exchange. God the Father took our sins. He took our sins and he at crucifixion and gave us his righteousness at our conversion. Look at that. God traded his righteousness for our sins, something of immeasurable worth, for something that's completely worthless. What love? Isn't that love? How grateful we should be for his undeserved kindness. God had this plan for us even before this world began. We are precious in his sight. And that's why we sing, for all the Lord has done for me or for us, we never will cease to praise him. Romans 3, verse 24 to 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we were freely declared righteous, freely. And when God forgives our sins, our sin is wiped clean. Wiped clean. No drop of it is left. All charges are removed. All charges are removed. From God's perspective, it is as though we have never sinned. Praise be to God. It is as though we have never sinned. That's forgiveness. And when we forgive, we say we forgive, but we don't forget. God doesn't speak like that. It's not even good for us to speak like that. Yes, you're saying that the brain remembers, but it is not good to speak like that when we are forgiving someone. When someone is forgiven, you must feel that forgiveness. He should feel free. He should feel as if all charges are dropped against him. But God could do this because Jesus took the penalty that we deserve. Christ purchased our freedom from sin, and the price was his life. His life. Christ gave his life. What more could we want him to do? His life was the offering, was the price. Verse 25 of 2 Corinthians, continuing, whom God set forth as a propitiation. That word means sacrifice or payment for sin. By his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, that means his timing and patience, God had passed over the sins, that means he had forgiven or paid for the sins that were previously committed. That means the sins committed in time past, from duration of the Old Testament up to the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So God looked ahead and included us in what he would do in this present time. See, it was predestined, it was ordained, and it was all because of his love for us, his unfathomable love. He forgave all our sins in order to, verse 26, say, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in him. So the word just means that he might be seen as the just one, for he himself is just and fair. And the justifier of the one. So he's the one who justifies, or he declares sinners can be made right in the sight when they believe in Jesus Christ. Be made right in his sight when they believe in Jesus Christ. So God is our justifier. Jesus Christ reveal himself, make himself known as the just one, so that we can accept him, realize that, and accept him and be justified. So this is a justification we're talking about as a sovereign act of God, where he declared believing sinners righteous while the sinner is still in a sinful state. And so we are sanctified in Jesus Christ. That is the next point. We are sanctified in Jesus Christ. We were chosen or set apart for Christ's service. We were declared holy. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. And Paul was writing to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So only saints are sanctified. Sanctification belongs to saints. Is there any sinner friend listening to this? Do you want to be sanctified? Got to become a born again. You got to be born again and be called a saint, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Paul was saying, both their Lord and his. So God personally invites us to be citizens of his eternal kingdom. And we accepted this invitation by accepting his son, Jesus Christ, by trusting in the finished work that Christ accomplished on the cross to forgive our sins. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 tells us that Christ Jesus became for us sanctification. He became for us sanctification. So here we're looking at the sovereign act of God, to which he used the Holy Spirit to work in us, to develop the new life of the believer, and gradually brings it to perfection. So Christ is not finished with us. He's still working in us. Praise be to God. So we can hold on, for we know that there is better. There is better. So through sanctification, sin's power in our life is diminished. Diminished. And so, you see, we have the power. God gave us the power to be victorious over sin. Jesus Christ demonstrated that power. So that's why we can sing this song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will glow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." The light of his glory and grace is so bright that the things of this earth will not be able to shine in our lives. So as Christians, we walk in the Spirit, so we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we do not fall to the things of this world. So we walk in the Spirit, the one who was given to us by faith when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior. Oh, what boundless love the Father had bestowed upon us to save us and sanctify us. We are so blessed in that the Father chose us in his Son before he made this world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love or in his eyes. So in the eyes of God, we will be blameless because of Jesus Christ, whom we are in. Praise God. Identity number 10. We have been brought near to God and raised to sit with him in heavenly places or heavenly realm. So we have been brought near to him. And this reminder is found in Ephesians 2 verses 11 to 13. Ephesians 2 verses 11 to 13. Remember, it is simply saying, don't forget that you, once Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, could I hear someone say, but now? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. Soon finish. So the Jews were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected their bodies and not their heart. In those days, all Gentiles were living apart from Christ and were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel. So we were like aliens. We weren't included. We did not know the covenant of the promise that God made to the Israelites. And we live in a world without God and without hope. But someone might read it and say, wait, God don't love us? Remember, even before the world began, God had a plan for us. But God does his thing in a mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. God, we cannot understand, fathom how God operates, do his thing, and when. His timing is different from our timing. So, but now we have been united in Christ Jesus, or with Christ Jesus. We were once afar off or away from God, have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ, the precious blood. And we can say hallelujah. And we sang this song earlier. There is wonder working power in the blood, the precious blood of the heavenly Lamb. Having been brought near, God raised us up together according to Ephesians 2 and verse 6 and made us to sit together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. So, we are not ordinary people. We're not ordinary. While our physical bodies here on earth, we are sitting in heavenly realm. We're not ordinary. Amen. The natural man cannot understand that. We don't belong here. We're just pilgrims passing through. Our home is in heaven. No rent to pay. We are just pilgrims passing through. Let us not set our affection on the things of this earth, of this world. Our belonging is in glory. Amen. And one day, in the twinkling of an eye, one day, it will be a rejoicing day for us, and it will be a sad day for those who left behind. Is there anyone listening under the sound of my voice, not wanting to accept Christ as his personal Savior? Because we are sitting in that heavenly realm, we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Nothing to hinder us. Because Christ and our faith in him. But according to Ephesians 3 and verse 12, it tells us that we can come boldly and confidently. Identity number 11 and final. But our identity in Christ cannot be exhausted. We are so much. It does not even yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appear, Christ Jesus, we shall be like him. But what else doesn't enter our mind? There's a lot waiting for us. Our identity is so great. It's so powerful. We are adopted as God's children and blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6. And it's speaking of God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It said, having predestined us to adoptions as son by Jesus Christ to himself, that is the Father, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Without him, we are nothing. Ephesians 3 verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of its promise in Christ. And this is through the gospel. But this is a mystery made known. So the Jews never see this coming. Because there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one body. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all God's children. And we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. According to Ephesians 1 verse 2. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And last verse, Romans 8 verse 32. Look into this. Romans 8 verse 32. Last verse. He, the Father, who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The psalmist knew that. And that's why he said, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. You shall not lack. When we are in Christ, we shall not lack. And so we sing the song, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creature here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's another part. It says, praise God, the Father, who's the source. Praise God, the Son, who is the course. Praise God, the Spirit, who is the flow. Praise God, our portion here below. Shall we praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. If there's someone who haven't accepted Christ as a personal Savior, having heard who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus, and knowing that there are much more to this, it cannot be exhausted. If you'd like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to do it now. The next minute is not promised to anyone. The next day is not promised. The Lord may put in his appearance, as well as it's appointed unto man once to die. You could simply pray a prayer like this. Blessed Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sins on a cross and shedding your precious blood to cleanse me of my sins. Please forgive me, Lord. Wash me in your blood and make me yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. Jesus.